Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Nahastan anila nijonne go shavothya, nijonne go shavothya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Yo, yo, ho, 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 yo, ho.
Yeah.
from the Taino Powwow Drum, Arawak Mountain Singers, off their 1994 cassette entitled Honoring the Ancient Ones. The name of that song was Dance, Dancers, Dance. In most tribal people's culture, many traditional dances are expressions of prayer. Many dances are a way of showing gratitude and respect to the Great Spirit, whom my Wabanaki people call Ketantawet, whom the Taino people call Guature. Some dance and songs are only done at certain ceremonies or at specific sacred sites. Other dances may honor a person or special event. Many songs and dancers honor the spirit of an animal, bird, plant, fish, or marine life. The Taino shark dance is a special example. Tribal dancing is an important way to teach children and youth our traditional ways. In contemporary times, powwow dancing is a way of socializing and honoring our native heritage. Importantly, dancing, drumming, and singing are a way of connecting ourselves to our Nichi Tonganooks, our ancestors. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's broadcast is part two of the Kene Indian Spiritual Circle program series. We continue my conversation with Taino Beke Sobakoko Koromo, founder of the Kene Indian Spiritual Circle. His English name is Mr. Miguel Sege. In Taino religion, a Beke is a spiritual leader. I had the honor to attend the Kene Indian Circle ceremony conducted by Miguel and afterwards speak with him in his father's home. The Taino are Caribbean American Indians. Their traditional home islands are what is now called the Greater and Lesser Antilles and the Bahamas. The Tainos, like other indigenous peoples in the world, refer to themselves by their specific geographic area. Boracay is what is now called Puerto Rico. Quisqueya is what is now called Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Xamaica is what is now called Jamaica. Guanahata Bay is now called Cuba. Lucayo refers to the Bahamas and smaller islands. Taino also had relations with the ancient Calusa and Tequesta tribal nations in what is now called Florida. Like other indigenous peoples throughout the world, Taino have a profound spiritual culture. The Kene Indian Spiritual Circle is a contemporary continuation of the traditional Taino religion. I've had the honor to participate in two Kene Spiritual Circle ceremonies under the guidance of Beke Sobakoko Koromo. Many of their beliefs and rituals are similar to native ceremonies in what is now called North America. Taino burn the sacred copal as my people burn sacred sage and sweetgrass with our prayers. My Wabanaki people term the Great Spirit Ketantawet. Taino say Guature. Taino respect semis, various spirits. Yokahu is life force and energy. Atabe is Mother Earth. Animals, plants, birds, fish, and marine life, what my Wabanaki people call Kinanwantakwasin, our relatives of the natural world, are also honored by the Taino. The Kene Indian Spiritual Circle respects different avian, fauna, flora, insects, and marine life as spirit guides. Watching the Taino shark dance reminded me of our own Wabanaki Eastern Woodlands tribal clan totems, especially my wolf clan dance song. Iguaka, the parrot, Guara Guau, the hawk, Mukaro, the owl, Babe, the hummingbird, Guanahao, the turkey, Inri Ri, the woodpecker, the manatee, Kahai, the shark, the Hutia rodent, Kari, the sea turtle, Hikote, the land tortoise, Chipaho, the green tree lizard, Koki, the tree frog, spiders, and the plant yucca, fruits and vegetables, are culturally significant to the Taino. This is similar to North American Indians who honor various relatives such as the buffalo, moose, bear, beaver, otter, panther, wolf, whale, quahog, clam, salmon, seal, walrus, eagle, hawk, great blue heron, anhinga, firefly, honeybees, corns, beans, squash, berries, and medicinal plants as important examples. Taino likewise have a cycle of annual rituals based on the celestial sky that guided important tribal events, such as planting, harvesting, fishing, and the arrival of hurricanes. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, the Taino were the first victims of European conquest of the so-called New World with the arrival of Christopher Columbus in 1492. Columbus murdered and enslaved Taino people from his first contact on the islands of Guanahani, Tuscaya, and other Arawak and Taino ancestral islands during his four voyages to the so-called New World. Thus began 517 years of colonization and exploitation of the Americas. It is important to remember that European conquest was first sanctioned by Pope Alexander VI, 1493, Intercetera Papal Bull. This Vatican decree authorized the conquest of all of the non-white, non-Christian world in the name of Christendom. That official Vatican decree has never been rescinded. Many indigenous peoples are still waiting for a formal apology from the Pope for the genocide of indigenous peoples. Christianity's belief that Europeans had the right to possess and plunder native peoples' homelands, as well as forcibly prohibit native religion, desecrate and destroy sacred sites, is a history that should never be forgotten. Even now, in the 21st century, there are many Christian missionaries throughout the globe trying to convert indigenous peoples. The New Tribes Mission is one of the most virulent examples. I've personally seen New Tribe Mission missionaries disrespect and disregard indigenous peoples' traditional beliefs during the years I had the honor to visit various tribal peoples in different places in the world. Many remote native peoples' first contact with outsiders have been with missionaries. They go so far as to translate the gospel into various native languages while instructing Indians to renounce their ancestral beliefs and practices. New Tribes Mission calls their Christian church practices exploring unreached tribal peoples. It is also important to acknowledge that indigenous peoples throughout the world, including the Taino, tried to resist European invasion. There were many Taino who fought the Spanish conquistadors and defied Christian missionaries. I feel those of us contemporary native peoples are here in the modern time as a result of our brave ancestors who struggled to keep and pass on our cultural spiritual lifeways, generation after generation. This is why traditional native organizations like Yad Kiddushi Native Center, like the Kene Indian Spiritual Circle, are so important, especially for future generations of indigenous peoples. This is why I am honored to welcome Beke Sobakoko Koromo, Mr. Miguel Sage, to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices.
Tal, brother, I appreciate the welcome to your program. My name is Miguel Sobaoko Koromo Sage. Sobaoko Koromo is my spirit name. It means black ribs. And it was a real pleasure to have welcomed you to our ceremony today. We're honoring your Kahu, the Lord of Life Force, in our tradition.
Miguel, thus far in our conversation, you have shared some insights into Taino cultural ways and spiritual beliefs based on the Kene Indian Spiritual Circle. We've talked about the murderer and pirate Christopher Columbus. We've talked about European conquest of the so-called New World. And we've highlighted the cultural, spiritual, and political resurgence occurring among indigenous peoples who are coming together as fulfillment of the ancient prophecy of the eagle, hawk, and condor. The subject I want to now address is the issue of desecration and destruction of sacred sites. Taino, like all other indigenous peoples throughout the world, have a spiritual connection to where we live. Indigenous peoples believe that a sacred life force, what you call Yokahu, exists within all life, as we say in my Wabanaki language, Kinon-Wantakwasin, all of our relations, all of our relatives of the natural world. We indigenous peoples acknowledge and offer prayers to this life force through daily rituals, as well as by specific ceremonies that are done at special sacred sites. Every native society in the world have sacred places, lands and waters that are home to various spirits, which Taino call semis. Several brief examples of sacred sites. My Wabanaki people consider Mount Katahdin one of our primary holy places. Matopaha, Bear Butte, is sacred to many Northern Plains American Indian nations. Uluuru, Ayers Rock, is sacred to Pitjantjatjara and Yankunjatjara Aborigines of what is now called Australia. Pele is a sacred volcano to Hawaiians. In Olo'ito Kitok, Mount Kilimanjaro is sacred to Kichag and Swahili peoples of Africa. Sadly, all of these sites and numerous other sacred places around the globe have been disturbed and desecrated. Many sacred places have been destroyed by development. Tourism and outdoor recreation activities have trampled and trashed many fragile prayer sites. Pollution and toxic contamination are now also responsible for the loss of sacred sites that Native peoples protected and kept pure. Another outrageous reason why sacred sites have been destroyed is from military bombing practices, weapons testing, and training exercises. The U.S. Navy's occupation of Vieques, an inhabited Taino island of Boracay, now called Puerto Rico, is an especially egregious example. Many sacred sites are also victims of looting, vandalism, and the illicit artifacts trade. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, many sacred items were stolen by anthropologists, archaeologists, and greedy grave robbers. Many sacred artifacts are still being kept by museums, historical societies, and universities, despite numerous efforts by tribal communities to have these sacred artifacts and even Indian human burial remains returned to Native communities. In theory, there are a number of international conventions, treaties, and national laws that are supposed to protect archaeological, cultural, historical, and religious sites and artifacts. The United Nations agency, UNESCO, plays a major role in this area. Unfortunately, there is little funding or staffing to properly monitor and enforce these important international agreements. United States law, such as AFRA, the American Indian Religious Freedom Act, NAGPRA, the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, the Presidential Executive Order on Indian Sacred Sites, the Archaeological Resources Protection Act, the National Preservation Historic Act, or U.S. Environmental Protection Agency laws, such as NEPA, are not given much funding or enforcement priority. Most federal cultural protection laws are limited to government property or institutions that receive some federal funding. Many Native sacred sites are now located on private property, which often has little or no protections. Miguel, would you please share any comments you may have on the subject of sacred sites?
Yes, actually, I'd like to make a mention of two organizations in Boriquen, which is what our name for Puerto Rico, that should be associated with our struggle as a people against the desecration of sacred places. One is called the Canay Quinto Mundo, Canay Fifth World, which is an organization that we've been associated with over the years in the past with the Canay Spiritual Circle, led by Grandmother Naniki, a holy woman. And the other one is the Concilio de Taínos Borincanos, or the Council of Borincan Taínos, which is a more of a tribal organization led by the chief cacique Elba Anaka Lugo, a woman cacique. The reason I mention these two people is because there are lands in Boriquen, as there are in Cuba, in Dominican Republic, that have undergone an incredible amount of desecration over these last 500 years. And these people have brought to the attention of the public the kind of dishonoring that has taken place in those places. 2 years ago, both of these women, the cacica Elba Anaka Lugo of the Concilio de Taínos Borincanos and Grandmother Naniki of the Canay Quinto Mundo, actually did a takeover, a physical takeover of one of the holiest sites in Boriquen, a place called Caguana. Caguana is a ceremonial center that the Taínos had, where they had dances and the sacred ball game that we had. It's very similar to the Maya ball game you may have heard of. That place has been dishonored and desecrated for many years. And these women came in there and they took the place. They risked prison time. They actually were carried out. There were armed government people there dealing with them and so forth. They went on a hunger strike for a period of time. And so that's been going on for some time. Now there's something new going on that's even more dramatic. During a construction project for a flood control issue, a huge sacred burial area and another village, very much like Caguana, was discovered in the southern part of Puerto Rico near a town called Ponce. Bones, actual human remains from that site have been taken out, shipped away from the island, and artifacts have been taken out. The desecration is incredible. These same two women are also there protesting that. Of course, they're not the only two people there. They're being accompanied by other Taínos. Every time that they do one of these things, other people that support them, and they're not just supported on site, they're being supported by people around the world and in the hemisphere via the internet, via letter writing campaigns, radio programs such as yours. So there is this upwelling, if you will, of support that unites our people in very much the way that you suggested a couple of minutes ago.
Anthros still keep coming like death and taxes to our land, to study their feathered freaks with funded money in their hand. Like a Sunday at the zoo, the cameras click away, taking notes and tape recordings of all the animals at play. Here come the Anthros, better hide your past away. Come the Anthro on another holiday. And the Anthros bring their friends to see the circus, watch the show. And when their pens are untry, they pack up the things and away they go. But there's nothing left to study, there's nothing left to see. Still the Anthros keep on searching for the truth and for the key. Come the Anthro, better hide your past away. Here come the Anthro on another holiday. Then back they go to write their book and tell the world there's more. But there's nothing left to write, It's all been done before. And all the Santa-funded money that the Anthro get to spend is ever given to their disappearing feathered friend. Here come the Anthros, better hide your past away. Here come the Anthro on another holiday. And the Anthros keep on digging our sacred ceremonial site, as if there was nothing wrong, cause education gives them the right. But the more they keep on digging, the less they really see, cause they got no respect for you or for me. Here come the Anthro, better hide your past away. Here come the Anthro on another holiday.
Music from Dakota singer-songwriter Mr. Floyd Red Crow Westerman off his Red Crow Creation CD. The name of that classic song was Here Come the Anthros. Floyd Red Crow Westerman was a well-known film and television actor. Mr. Westerman also traveled throughout the world as a cultural ambassador for the International Indian Treaty Council. Floyd dedicated himself to protecting Mother Earth and defending the rights of indigenous peoples throughout the globe. I had the personal honor to know Mr. Westerman during our time together with the African National Congress American Indian Movement National Tour of Solidarity to Free Nelson Mandela and Leonard Peltier. Floyd was one of the ANC AIM tour speakers. I had the privilege to be an East Coast press secretary for the ANC AIM campaign tour. Mr. Westerman has passed into the spirit world. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kedeshi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. My guest today is Mr. Miguel Sobakoko Koromo Sege. He is a Taino Beke, a ceremonial leader. Miguel is the founder of the Kene Indian Spiritual Circle, which is a contemporary continuation of the traditional Taino cultural spiritual life ways. Sir, in my last question to you about sacred sites, I mentioned how military bombing and missile range practice, weapons testing, and warfare training exercises are some of the most outrageous reasons for the destruction of sacred sites. I briefly cited the case of Vieques, the small inhabited island of Boracay, now called Puerto Rico. For the benefit of our worldwide listeners, in 1898, the United States took over Puerto Rico as a result of the Spanish-American War. In the 1940s, during World War II, the U.S. Navy expropriated Vieques as an expansion of their Roosevelt Roads naval base on Boracay. Years of naval and marine munitions and war games have greatly affected the people of Vieques. The long history of weapons testing are the cause for many deaths from cancer on the island. After much denial, the U.S. Navy has admitted using depleted uranium. This legacy is responsible for many other grave illnesses. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I am a professional ecologist, working many years in environmental justice. Pollution and contamination of Vieques is an ecological crime. The soil, fauna, and flora have been wiped out. Sea life suffers from discarded, toxic military equipment that has been dumped into Vieques' coastal waters. The once pristine island marine ecosystem has been forever destroyed. Vieques is an environmental justice case. Miguel, would you please comment on Vieques?
Certainly, and of course, the place that you're talking about, we Taínos are very much acquainted with it. It's a little island off of Puerto Rico, off of Boracay, called Vieques. For quite a long time, Grandmother Naniki herself, with the aid of Cacique Elba Anacalugo, and other Tainos, join the struggle of other Puerto Ricans and other Boricuas who do not perhaps consider themselves indigenous people, but who are in cooperation and in solidarity with the sentiment, worked very, very hard to get the United States Navy out of Vieques, especially since they were using the island as a bombing range. And of course, as you probably already know, they succeeded. The community won. You know, they just kept at it and kept at it until they succeeded.
Throughout our conversation, and as stated on Yat Kedishi Native Center's website and brochure, indigenous peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of Sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, self-determination, and respect for our cultural, spiritual life ways. One of the greatest threats to these concerns is the exploitation of native homelands by governments, national, and multinational corporations. Historically, this was a major aspect of colonization. In the modern time of the new millennium, it is called globalization. Many of our Wolf Mountain radio programs highlight the rape and destruction of indigenous peoples' territories that began with the earliest contact with explorers seeking monetary gain from gold, silver, furs, and timber. The Hudson's Bay Company in North America exemplified this so-called frontier era. As time went on, economic greed encouraged widespread commerce in agriculture, fisheries, forestry, livestock production, and minerals. This economic colonization in the Caribbean was the force for agribusiness plantations of sugarcane, banana, coffee, rice, and other tropical fruits and vegetables. The so-called Green Revolution technology of the 1960s and 1970s, requiring large amounts of toxic farm chemicals and machinery, promoted greater large-scale industrial agriculture that further consolidated and expanded corporate control over land, water, and price. In many cases, this caused further displacement of indigenous peoples off their ancestral lands. Now, in the age of economic globalization, with institutions like the World Bank, the International Finance Corporation, better known as the IMF, multilateral development banks, and regional financial powers, such as the Inter-American Development Bank, which focuses on Latin America and the Caribbean, the rape and plunder of Mother Earth is at a frenzy. It is also important to mention organizations such as the World Trade Organization, General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, and other so-called free trade agreements, not to mention the Caribbean Single Market and Economy, known as CSME, are additional forces of globalization that has devastated indigenous peoples and their territories. As a Native American ecologist, I am especially worried about the unprecedented power and impacts of huge energy companies. I have personally seen their destructive cultural and ecological impacts in many places in the world. Lastly, the most recent example of this global storm is biocolonialism, also called biopiracy. It is the forced expansion of genetic engineering by diverse multinational companies whose GMO industries are promoted by governments. This is an alarming development in global enterprise which threatens Mother Earth and all peoples. One place this is particularly scary is in the Amazon region of what's now called South America. Miguel, would you please share your thoughts about what I've just spoken about?
Our people are descended from a South American Indian nation called the Arawaks, which originated in the Amazon rainforest basin. So our interest in the desecration of land and resources by multinational corporations and the such goes all the way down there. And we use our internet forum to inform and educate people about what is going on in those sacred lands down in South America, all the way from the Amazon rainforest to the Caribbean. Multinational corporations, as you know, are destroying the Amazon rainforest in many different ways. Right now, we're focusing on giant agribusiness that clear rainforest land and then grow soybeans for profit. And they destroy the rainforest in that way. We've also focused on timber concerns. The agribusiness are mostly based out of the United States. Some of the business concerns are based out of Japan. They consume a lot of the high quality timber from the Amazon rainforest. It's all a virgin forest. Also, some of the homegrown rape of that area in Brazil, for instance, are local ranchers who will clear rainforest for grazing land. And this is a combination. It's kind of like they're ganging up on the rainforest and the people that live in it. There's no doubt about the fact that prospecting and harvesting of mineral resources in that area has been a very important factor in the destruction of the rainforest. I do know, and I'm sure you know also, of some of the actual cases and names of actual corporations.
I was riding on my pony, hunting bison on the plains, when the moccasin telegraph reported something strange. There was someone building lodges made with stone and logs. They had bushes on their faces and funky looking dogs. They were loading off big bundles from triple wide canoes, full of trading items out of sight. Creation sang the blues. Tomorrow's our grand opening. Grab your ropes and furs. We'll wheel and deal and feast and drink until you engines purr. Oh, we didn't know shopping. We didn't go shopping. We didn't start shopping till the Hudson's Bay Company. With horses and dogs, a pile of skins, it was unfamiliar territory we had wandered in. A bushy-faced Napiquan said, sit, we'll smoke and drink. As we prepared our sacred pipe, the Napiquan just went. When the smoke was over, they said, got a gift for you that'll fill your head with visions, make you strong and happy too. We didn't quite know what to think before we drank that rum. Was fire, water, devil, starter, rabbit on the run. They got us ready for shopping. They got us ready for shopping. Yeah, we were ready for shopping at the Hudson's Bay Company. Denim jeans, iron awls, musket balls, powder horns and pretty shawls, blankets, buttons, bolts of flannel, silver bells and tallow candles, sugar flour, dark molasses, colored beads and looking glasses, pale ale, gin and brandy, fine wine and hard rock candy. Ride through service was awful handy. Oh, we couldn't stop shopping.
No, we couldn't stop shopping.
We wouldn't stop shopping.
We wouldn't stop shopping.
We couldn't stop shopping at the Hudson's Bay Company. Now we got spandex, Gore-Tex, Nike Airs, gummy bears, ceiling fans, frying pans, turkey veal, shrimp or spam, sales cycle, sports rackets, rollerblades and jean jackets, keyboards to surf the net, on a tidal wave of debt, MasterCard, Visa card, Christopher Columbus card, American Espresso, Lord, every kind of card. Oh, we can't stop shopping.
Oh, we can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping at the Hudson's Bay Company. Oh, we can't stop shopping.
Oh, we can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping at the Hudson's Bay Company.
Thank you.
Music from Blackfeet Native American singer-songwriter Jack Gladstone off his Hawkstone Productions CD entitled Noble Heart. The name of that song was Hudson Bay Blues. Those satirical lyrics overshadow the control which the Hudson Bay Company had over North America. In many ways, the Hudson Bay Company was the blueprint for economic globalization. At one time, the Hudson Bay Company was the largest landowner, or should I say stolen land owner, in the world. Hudson Bay Company was founded in 1670 by British Royal Charter. It was the oldest commercial corporation in North America. Hudson's Bay Colony totally controlled trade from its economic monopoly with both Indians and settlers. Its network of trading posts made Hudson's Bay Company the de facto government over many parts of Canada and the United States for several centuries.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Yatkidishi Native Center and the Kanay Indian Spiritual Circle hope that our traditional cultural spiritual lifeways will continue long into future generations. This is why Miguel and I encourage Indigenous youth to be proud of their Native heritage. My next guest is a young Taino brother who exemplifies this important hope. It is now my privilege to welcome Taino Beke Miguel Sobacoco Coromo Sage's son, Miguel Sage III, to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices.
Hello, my name is Miguel Sage. I'm Miguel Sage III. You just had an interview with my father, Miguel Sage Jr., who's a Beike of Taino spirituality. Taino is the tribe that I come from, the nation that I come from, and the Tainos are from the Caribbean, the islands of Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic, as well as some of the other islands. The main thing that I wanted to share is that I think it's really important for young Taino people to get involved with being proud of their Taino heritage. It's starting to run out the time for Taino people to be able to do that. I think it needs to start now. I think there's a lot of Tainos out there that seem to not be that proud of being Native American. A lot of Latinos seem to think that there's some kind of stigma attached to being Native American, a stigma of being backwards or being slow or being too country, and it's absolutely not true. I'm standing here, I'm a professional agent for Latin music, and I also teach Latin percussion, and I'm very, very proud of my Native American roots. And to anyone who asks me, I'll tell them that I'm Taino. So I think it's really important for people to take hold of their Taino roots and learn from them, because there's a lot to be learned about our spirituality. There's a lot to be learned about our spiritual power as musicians, as artists, as spiritual providers to the rest of the world. And also, I think it's really important that the United States government represent Taino people as a native tribe of this country. Frankly, Puerto Rico is part of the United States, and that was originally called Borinquen, and that's because there was Taino people living there way before there was any Spanish there, or anything else for that matter. So we need to be recognized as a tribe.
Miguel, Yatkidishi Native Center very much respects everyone's right to follow whatever religion one chooses, so long as one's beliefs and practices do not infringe upon other people's spiritual lifeways. Unfortunately, the 517 years of history of Christianity's impact on indigenous peoples since Pope Alexander VI's infamous 1493 Intercessory Papal Bull, in which the Vatican authorized European conquest of all of the non-white, non-Christian world in the name of Christendom, is a wound that has not yet healed. Miguel, what is your view on Christianity?
I think that the Christianity in itself naturally is a very positive spirituality. It's not the spirituality, frankly, though, of my roots or my heritage, and the way that it's been misshapen in Europe before that it was brought to the Caribbean really had a corrosive effect on Taino people and Native people in general. It seems like a lot of times when people don't want to admit that they're Native American, hand in hand with that, they're going to jump in and say, that's because I'm Christian. And it has nothing to do with it. Frankly, you can be Christian and Native American at the same time. And in my opinion, Jesus Christ was a wonderful, wonderful person. And I'm sure that he had a very, very serious connection with the Great Spirit. But that doesn't mean that there's anything right about burning my ancestor Guarionex at the stake over not being a Christian. The words of one of the chiefs that they burned at the stake, one of the most rebellious chiefs who fought the Spanish tooth and nail to the end, when they finally had him tied up at the stake, they had the priest come up and give him his last rites. And he told the translator, what is this guy doing? He said, well, you're getting your last rites. Don't you want to go to heaven? And so he said, well, let me ask you this. Are there Spanish in heaven? And so they told him, yeah, of course. Heaven is full of Spanish. So he said, well, then why would I want to go there? And then they put a torch to this guy. And that's the story of Taino culture after the Spanish came. In my opinion, I think we would have kicked the Spanish right up off of the island. But their diseases were affecting us long, long before they decided to pull their little trick. Christopher Columbus's first trick upon Native Americans. It was frankly the first European treachery. It's all well documented by monks. Luckily, some of these Christian guys were already paying attention, were already saying that this was a bad thing, but those treacheries are not taught in our schools, and they need to be. We need to know how dirty the history is. I mean, from that, what they did to the Taínos, to the Mayan book burnings, where they burned all of the libraries of the Mayan scrolls. These things, nobody knows that the Maya had scrolls, had libraries of scrolls. God knows what literature they were sharing. Knowledge of all different topics. And this was being shared by the Taino, because the Taino were very strong in business practices, and they would go and trade with all of the other tribes. The Taino were in Maya country also, in Guatemala. I'm very proud to be Taino.
Imagine there is a radio station working for a better world, social justice and human rights, independent broadcasting 24 hours a day. Radio for Peace International, Costa Rica. We are giving voice to the voiceless.
Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. I wish to sincerely thank Taino Beke, Miguel Sage, and his son Miguel III for sharing their views with us on honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Listeners who wish to learn more about the Kene Indian Spiritual Circle, please visit their website, www.kenecircle.owlweb.org. Once again, listeners who wish to learn more about the Kene Indian Spiritual Circle, please visit their website, www.kenecircle.owlweb.org. We shall conclude today's program with an honor song from Taino singer-songwriter Edwin Sedino off his CD entitled Taino, Tribal Ancestral Indigenous New Order. The name of the song is Remember the People. One of the most basic ethics of Indigenous peoples is living in a way that brings honor to your tribal nation, your clan, your family. It is following the Native principle of seven generations. This philosophy that we often speak about on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, means considering how one's thoughts and actions will affect Mother Earth and all life for seven generations into the future. This is what it means when we say, remember the people. Give gratitude to our Nichitanganuks, our ancestors, while we care for present and future generations. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinonwantakwasin, to all of our relations.
I would like to pay tribute to the memory of the men, women, and children of the Caribbean who, in 1492, when the ominous black cloud of genocide reached the shores of our homelands, were relocated and separated from their mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers, enslaved, and those who were murdered in mass numbers and put to work in their mines for the gold tribute that was imposed upon them. Let us not forget these precious ones who were the first martyrs of the European invasion in the Western Hemisphere. Let us also remember and recite the names of our great caciques who were the first to lead in the resistance and the fight for freedom in our ancestral homelands for our people, the Tainos. Kaisihu.
Anhankatu.
Umatas.
Anhankatu.
Comerio.
Anhankatu.
Wamani.
Anhankatu.
Amunilla.
Anhankatu.
Hatue.
Anhankatu.
Wanikosh.
Anhankatu.
Waunika.
Anhankatu.
Uriana.
Anhankatu.
Orokovis.
Anhankatu.
Umakao.
Anhankatu.
Ave.
Anhankatu.
Watabane.
Anhankatu.
Wayerba.
Kaonawo.
Anhankatu.
Aramana.
Anhankatu.
Turabo.
Anhankatu.
Wamarete.
Anhankatu.
Paganame.
Anhankatu.
Kayakoa.
Anhankatu.
Mabiatue.
Anhankatu.
Dagua.
Huamei.
Anhankatu.
Urayoan.
Anhankatu.
Behichio.
Anhankatu.
Hua.
Antu.
Waraka.
Anhankatu.
Mabue.
Anhankatu.
Mabudamaka.
Anhankatu.
Lukijo.
Anhankatu.
Agarwe.
Mayobanesh.
Anhankatu.
Wayama.
Katu.
Yama.
Anhankatu.
Hayukoa.
Anhankatu.
Wakanagari.
Anhankatu.
Gagwash.
Anhankatu.
Yukibo.
Anhankatu.
Baguaname.
Anhankatu.
Yogueras.
Anhankatu.
Oromico.
Alhankatu.
Wana obo konel.
Alhankatu.
Mahubia tibire.
Alhankatu.
Kanubana.
Alhankatu.
Guayaboa.
Alhankatu.
Wakabo.
Alhankatu.
Yahuibo.
Alhankatu.
Anakaona.
Alhankatu.
Shamaika.
Alhankatu.
Watiwana.
Alhankatu.
Kasimar.
Alhankatu.
Uroyowa.
Alhankatu.
Kotubanama.
Alhankatu.
Warionesh.
Alhankatu.
Warina.
Alhankatu.
Kaye.
Alhankatu.
Aumatei.
Alhankatu.
Umakao.
Alhankatu.
Arecibo.
Alhankatu.
Hayuya.
Alhankatu.
Sabananio Baba.
Alhankatu.
Wamosh.
Alhankatu.
Mahagua.
Alhankatu.
Warokuya.
Alhankatu.
Yukuibo.
Alhankatu.
Paramaya.
Alhankatu.
Paraona.